Let me let you, Roselle, have a listen and we'll get your reaction to Sarah's mum, Jane Christie, who's with us this morning. Morning to you, Jane.
Good morning.
Of course, Jane, you travelled with your daughter to London. We were there when you were travelling to the clinic and you came on to the Nolan television show, and there was a very prominent piece on that television show around this debate. What is your reaction, Jane, to what the Justice Minister has announced this morning?
Bit mixed. Delighted in one respect that they're actually moving ahead, but at the end of the day, as Sarah said, she's lost her wee daughter. And it's hard, but it needs to be addressed. And we're not talking about disabled children. We're talking about a fetus that won't survive. And as Sarah has already mentioned to you this morning about the mother that had the baby and passed away herself. So there's no easy way around it. And we're not saying that that choice should be taken off the table, but there should be a choice. And that's a choice to have the procedure done here.
How have you felt about the way the ministers, Edwin Poots and David Ford, have interacted with you and your family?
At the start, very well. And certainly Ford, Minister Ford and Naomi Long have been keeping in touch with us about it. I knew probably we wouldn't have heard too much from Minister Poots. I think in some ways he's maybe got too much of a personal input into it from what he said in the home. But certainly I'm glad to see that they're moving on it now.
When you heard this news, what was your reaction?
Relieved. Mixed, very mixed. It's not something we want. And we certainly don't agree with abortion, but in some circumstances it needs to be addressed and it needs to be able to be available here in Northern Ireland for the mothers.
And some people will be asking themselves, granted they haven't been through this, why is it so different in Northern Ireland than in London? Why does that flight make such a difference?
Because you're taking somebody out of their comfort zone, away from people and faces and people that have, I mean, Sarah's consultant, David Glenn, the whole time, she was in touch with him. He knew her. He knew what she needed. His team knew what she needed. And they had the support here and the backup here to do it. So why are we not able to do it here in Northern Ireland? Why are we having to pay? I mean, at the end of the day, it cost us over £2,000 to get to London. Now, not every mother has that available, and maybe the mother that delivered this baby didn't have the funds available to go and have the procedure done. And now she, as well as the baby, has lost her life in delivering the baby.
You heard Dr. Roselle Ward this morning arguing against this. What would you say to her?
She keeps bringing up about the cleft palate and a disabled child. This is not about the disabled child. My mum and Sarah's aunt, all their lives, worked in a mentally handicapped school. My aunt was the headmistress of it. We have had them at our home. We've entertained them. We've gone on holidays with them. We have physically been... It is not about a disabled child. If it was, Sarah and Jason would have been proceeding with the baby. We were talking about what could be done, even with thinking that anencephaly could be something that could be treated, and we were going to deal with it. But when we knew what was ahead of Sarah and the baby had no chance of survival, that then made us address the option that we totally, totally hate even talking about and being associated with, but have had to get on board to get something done to address it, to have it available here in Northern Ireland for these poor mums that are being forced to go on a flight to a place they don't know. And at the end of the day, there's an absolute aftermath with this abortion. And I hate using the word that we're using it as termination. It just doesn't end with the termination of the baby. I mean, we are picking up the pieces at the moment. And as I said to you before, I mean, Sarah's milk came into play. And there are other issues that I'm not prepared to go into at the moment that we're having to deal with from the clinic. So it's not just an easy decision. And it's not, I hate it. And Sarah hated having to go away from home to have it.
Let me let Roselle Ward, Dr. Roselle Ward, speak to you this morning, Jane. Roselle, what's your response to what Jane has said?
As I said before, you know, these are terribly tragic circumstances, devastating circumstances. What I would say as well, but is that where a child here in Northern Ireland has clearly died in utero in the womb, the mother will be delivered of that child here. But where that child is still living.
But not every mother wants to go through the procedure of the birth. And the fact that this woman on the Anna Caffley page that Sarah was registered with had gone through the procedure and has now herself died. I mean, this has not only put because of the baby being at risk and dying, has put her at risk, and now she has also lost her life. I mean, that's fine if that's what the choice is for the mother to go and have the birth. We have no problem with that. But if someone doesn't want to have the birth, then they should be able to have the procedure done in their own home country and be treated here by their own obstetrician.
I cannot comment on that mother's death and how that mother died. None of us know the complete and full medical circumstances of how and why that mother died, and therefore I can't say that. But I still believe that we need to...
She died in an Anna Caffley birth. How she died is irrelevant in relation to...
Well, it's not relevant.
What I'm trying to say to you is she chose to have the birth.
We don't know the details around that case. We do not know the details. So let's not get into a case where certainly I don't know the details. But what you do know, Jane, is about your daughter's details and how this affected your daughter. And Dr. Ward, you're very much across Sarah's case because you're on the television show, you've heard it on this programme, and you've heard how traumatised she is and was about having to leave her family and the comfort of her consultants around her in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, and I mean, that was a choice she made for herself. But
wasn't a choice. She didn't have an alternative.
Well, Peter, Stephen, the child was still living. The baby was still living. And there have been those who have been told, your child has no chance of living. Your child only might live a few minutes or a few seconds and will die. And that child has ended up living for days, weeks and years.
Jane?
You know, and are we going to deny those children that life, however precious? Where do we draw the line here, Stephen? Do we go around the neonatal units and saying, well, that child hasn't any possibility, no real chance of surviving for a week or two or 3 months or whatever. We'll just switch them off now and get rid of them. We'll not try to support them.
Jane?
You know, we live in a society...
Let's let Jane reply to
that. That's a very, very, very callous way of putting it. This was a very, very hard decision for my daughter, and you're making it sound like it was just let's flick a switch. This is not the case.
I'm not saying it was like making a switch.
No, you're just saying let's just get rid of them.
But I'm saying, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line in this? If you want the law changed and extended, where do you draw the line? Because if you
we want it adjusted. We want these amendments made, not it changed. The amendments to be made to this to cater for the likes of medical terminations, where the baby has no chance of survival, so that the mother hasn't to go through this horrendous birth in a country that she doesn't know, has no idea of the team around her, have no idea of the hospital or the procedures, and as a matter of fact, of even where she's going. Because at the end of the day, we were finding our way, finding our feet, and it was awful. And as I've already said, we're now still picking up the pieces from this clinic.
Well, what I would say as well is that, you know, a lot of people would feel, I'm not saying necessarily in your case, but a lot of people would feel that, you know, to get rid of the baby, to terminate the baby, well, whilst they will sort of feel very grieved and will live with this, it sort of helps them through the process. But there are various studies that say that rather than leading to psychological well-being, abortion for fetal abnormality, whatever it be, it is in fact an emotionally traumatic major life event which leads to post-traumatic stress response.
We are not for abortion.
Detectable for
this,
some years.
Before it landed at our door, we were absolutely, had no way would we have agreed to abortion. But this is a medical reason. And my daughter did not want to go through the birth, having read the outcome and the other side of women who have given birth, who are depressed, who are suicidal. This is all coming up on this web page that Sarah had joined, this Facebook, in relation to mothers that had gone through the same thing. These are people that have actually lived it and have gone through it. And Sarah was wanting to choose not to have that. But in choosing not to have that, she had to go to England to have the procedure done rather than being allowed to have it here in her own country.
Would it not be logical, Dr. Ward, for you to attempt to get a change in the law so that it is illegal for mothers to travel to London in the first place? Otherwise, what's happening is the issue is being exported across the water.
Well, I don't see how you could police that one for a start, Stephen. I mean, how would you start policing that?
But you're not even calling for it.
You've got to stand at the airports and check everybody's reason for why they're getting on a plane or why they're getting on the ferry.
Well, I think that's why it needs to be down to our obstetrician that's dealing with the mother, that knows the mother, that the decision should be his. I mean, that is his qualification and supposedly everybody else's. In the medical team, they should know what the mother needs, the mother's needs, that her frame of mind. They've worked with her the whole time, been with her, held her hand.
Let's speak this morning.
Give her the traumatic and broke the news to her, having to deal with it at that stage. So why shouldn't they be able to say it to the finish if that's the need?